You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to Psalm 23 for a moment. Psalm 23. And in the light of the conference and activity, many of you worked many, many hours. Some of you did. Lots and lots of hours. And others worked as best they could. And that's wonderful. It would have never taken place without what you've done, how you did it. And thus, if you would, I thought of all of you people being tired. So, I thought we should do something that is restful. Now, over if you would please, if you're there, Psalm 23. David, remember, we don't know, Psalm 23 is a gem of all of psalms and songs. And in the process, we have no surety of when David wrote this. But David had a unique exercise. And between being a shepherd boy with a few sheep on the backside of the desert like Moses, he was a nobody, the youngest son of seven. God chose him to be king of Israel. And in the process, David went through from lions to bears to Goliath. He went through all kinds of things. And David just grew. He went through all the trauma and exercise of just being an adult human in this kind of a world like we are. So now David tells us something in wonderfully six statements, six verses, something about how it works. David, how do you handle life in the light of God, in the light of the reality of the world in which you live? Your world, our world. Now, thus, starting off, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you remember the personal pronoun, my shepherd. He is the shepherd. But everyone that knows him as Savior does not enjoy him as shepherd. He's the Savior. But you need to exercise his wonderful person in all of the facets of his being. And he is the Savior. He is sovereign Lord. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And you will notice in having a good shepherd as sheep, as good shepherd, there is no need to want, to be deficient, to be lacking. Nothing is missing. The sheep who have such a shepherd are lacking nothing. Now, how is that going to be understood? How do the sheep who are sheep, and remember, sheep are not noted for their intellectual maneuvers. Sheep are sort of dumb. And that's why God chose them for humans, he said. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have what? Turned everyone to his own way. God said you must have a shepherd. In order to enjoy your journey through time, you must have a shepherd. Now, having said that, what is involved in understanding and enjoying God being a shepherd? God, what do you ask of us? Thus, verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And the word make, the verb is to cause, to make something happen. It isn't the believer doing it. It isn't the sheep. It's God, the shepherd. He causes, he makes to happen. He maketh us to lie down, to recline, to settle down, to be calm, secure, comfortable, to dwell. God is able to go, and he says to the one who says, I shall not want, there has to be and needs to be a starting point. What's the starting point if we're to go in the light of verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Well, what do I need to know in order to journey through the corridor of time? What's the starting thing? What's the first thing you're going to tell, David? What was the first thing? You know about sheep, and you are one, and God has done wonderful things with you, David. He maketh me, David, to lie down, to settle down, to be comfortable, calm, secure, in green pastures. And thus God in green, the word green is the young sprout. Think of seeds coming up and the young grass. It's young, it's Genesis 1, 11 and 12. And God, the grass sprouted up, springs up. It isn't grass that's been sitting there. It's new grass, new, fresh, green grass coming up. He maketh me. God causes me to lie down, to rest, to relax, to find comfort, to settle down in green pastures. Green pastures. There's all kinds of pasture for the sheep. What's the first thing? Green pastures. Green. And thus, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, green pastures, would you go with me, please, over? Lie down. I want to just take each a half a thought and make you just stop and lock it in. God, what are you asking us? To be able, would you ask David? God said about David, he made him, David, to lie down in green pastures, tender green. And if you've ever sat in grass, you said there's all kind. There's old grass, like old people. There's old grass, and there's tender green grass. And you know when you sit on grass that just has that newness, freshness to it. Boy, that's something else, isn't it? You know. Wow. God makes us lie down in green pasture. Feeding, places to feed, green, verdant green. Now, over to get that mood. God, are you going to do that for Israel? Uh-huh, I am. Not David. David, does Israel understand that? No. Israel didn't enjoy it. David did. David experienced, went through to learn it. Now, over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And picking up, if I may, looking into the future, the millennial reign of Christ, what do we know about that? And lying down has to do with safety, protection, security, surety. Lying down with no fear of being frightened, terrified, to be resting, to lie down. Now, in the millennial reign of Christ, you will note the conditions change as we've been looking at. And in chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 6, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down, there's your verb, shall lie down with the kid, goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear, verse 7, shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down. They're going to lie, there's your verb again. They're going to lie down. Lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. They're going to lie down. And when you lie down, sheep won't lie down. They're very, very active, uneasy. When sheep are satisfied, they lie down. When sheep are satisfied, when they aren't, they're in motion. When sheep are satisfied, they lie down. God, what are you going to do? You're going to help out David, and you're going to help Israel, and in the millennium, what are you going to help the people know? As the humans are living then, what are they going to know? They're going to see all of the things that were to be afraid and to be causing fear are going to be calm. Lions, lambs, kids, children, asp, snake, if you kept reading. It's all going to be all right. How do you tell us that? They're going to lie down. They're going to be sitting. You know, if you were in the African safari out there in Africa and the out in the where the game parks are, and if you were out there and in being out there and you were to pass and you had a flat tire, you have to use your imagination, flat tire, and you have to get out of the car, a truck, tank, you have to get out of the tank. And you're going to walk now. And here's a bunch of lions, and they're all, they're moving, looking, pawing the ground. Wow. Now, are you comfortable? No. But if you were walking, and the lions are all there, laying on each other, snoring away, would you feel comfortable? Wouldn't you feel more comfortable? They're resting. And there's no fear. God, what are you going to do in the millennium to help us? Help the people. I'm going to help them know it's a time of safety. Wonderful security. Everything's in place. Now, over if you would to Jeremiah. Ezekiel, and in chapter 34, Ezekiel 34, picking up and getting a little bit of the context, verse 11. And thus, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered sheep. And I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them, verse 14, feed them in a good pasture, feeding. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They shall lie in a good fold. We've got pasture, lying green, wonderful resting. They shall lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. They shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I'm going to give them a wonderful, wonderful peace. I'm going to have them rest, a wonderful position of resting, not worrying. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what does God do? Here you are, wanderer, time lost in your relationship to God, having no light and no life. And one person, God, in Christ, becomes your Savior. When that happens, do you know, at that moment, you become thoroughly, wonderfully saved? And you are too, 1 John 5:13, you are to wonderfully know it. You're supposed to know saved, comfortably saved. What do I need to do? Nothing. Quiet. Rest. Lie down. Be secure. Of all the things, David, how does it work? God has to get you to understand that He's God and that He gives you a wonderful, wonderful safety, a wonderful, wonderful place of security. And He wants you to know that He is able to save to the uttermost. So He wants you to understand that. Lie down. You don't have to stand there on your toes, on your guard. You don't have to do that. I want you to learn to lie down in green pastures. I want you to have that. I want you to know that. That's what I want you to know. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, all the anxiety and all the fretting and fuming and fussing and all of that stuff that's in us stops. And we allow God to be our Savior and Lord. And it's all over. He's the only Savior, the only God, and He saves us. Wow. Completely. So now, God, and that's done. That's done. Like we said, you have a unique relationship to God, and God gives you. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. God gives you the right and privilege to legally and heavenly say, I am a child of God. I am a wonderful child. C-H-I-L-E. You wondered where the E came from. So did I. Child. More than that, a son. 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 Now you don't do that. You didn't do that. When you became a child of your parents, didn't you remain? Aren't they your parents? No matter you like them, don't like them, living, dying, terrible, aren't they the source of your life? Yes, they are. God, when we come to know you as our Savior, aren't you the steady, consistent source of our life? Yes. Why am I a son? Why am I a child? Why are you? Because of God. God, well, I need to rest in that. I'm going to lie down. I don't have to fuss about it. Don't have to fight about it. That's my starting point, so that I shall not want. I have a shepherd who said, shh. Now, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, to God give us that wonderful resting, over, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And the Gospel of John chapter 10, the Lord, about the great good chief shepherd. In John chapter 10, you're familiar with, if I may, the shepherd's care, his capacity, his capability, his power to provide. Chapter 10 and verse 9. I'll even read verse 7, 8, and 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall go in and out, in and out. He shall be saved, saved, and he shall go in the future, he himself, she himself, the person will go in, person will come out, to come in and go out. It's a Hebrew idiom, a Hebrew phrase, which means what? To be able to go and carry out your daily life. All the usual things you do, coming and going 24 hours a day. To be able to carry out your business, your duties, your schoolwork, to do all of that, to do all of those wonderful things. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is to feed, green pastures, feeding, wonderful tranquility, resting, feeding God. And you're going to make it so it's very safe. It's very safe. You're very safe. You are surely wonderfully set apart if you're saved for God. Now you can either enjoy the trip or louse it up. Up to you. As believers, we need to trust God. We need to learn to understand He's the shepherd. So now, having said that, over please, in your Bible, if you would, why not? You're here. Matthew chapter 6. You should go in and out and be satisfied. No question. Going to find pasture. And in finding pasture and feeding, you're going to also be able to do everything. Matthew chapter 6, and you'll pick up, please, verse 29, our Lord. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God, you can tell a believer to just rest and lie down and not worry. Not worry. Just stop. That's the starting point. That's the starting point. Get saved. Understand that salvation is magnificent and full of mercy. And that's why you and I are going to make it, because of God's wonderful grace. Now, in the light of that, God, the Father, we have a Father. Verse 33, you're familiar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we're going to look to God, and we aren't going to worry about food and clothing and all of those things that are there. And the global situation with all the pressures and everything's coming in globally. And like the bathtub, you know, the water waves go out like this, hit the edge, and then they come back. Back and forth. You're in a global economy where you're coming this and it goes out here and you read it out here and then it comes rolling back in and affects us. Out it back goes again. We're in a state seismic flux. We're in it. And we can't get out of it. But we can be in it and understand there's a way to be in all of this without getting so flustered and frustrated, to understand, God, David, how did you ever do what you did? I trusted God, as you'll see in a minute. I trusted God. He told me to rest in his wonderful person, and that's what I did. I was a king, but he was the king. I was Lord, he was the Lord. I was in charge, he was really in charge. That's how I could handle my responsibilities. Now, and thus, over if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Going in, coming out. You're going to catch it. You already know it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You remember the blessings and the cursings that were there. And they followed Israel. If Israel paid attention, they were there, blessing and cursing. And thus, when you come, remember, if you honor God's word, verse 1, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that what? That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. You're just a little pimpsqueak, but God is going to bless you more than Egypt and Babylon and everyone else. And you're going to be way ahead of them. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, keeping in mind, verse 2, you don't hunt for blessing. It hunts you. It hunts you. The blessing of God, like the lion chasing the antelope, the blessing of God hunts the believing heart. You have to understand that. We don't hunt blessing. Blessing hunts us. That's wonderful. Just in itself. That's wonderful. God, all things, you know what? All things work together, Romans 8, 21. All things work together for what? For good. To them that love God and are called according to his purpose. God, you're going to work it all out? He said, I am. I am. Honor me. Thus, Israel, skipping to verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. You're going to live your normal daily life. I'm going to bless you when you go out. I'm going to bless you when you come in. David, without turning there to David, David's life was marked with that. And Israel, by the way, knew it. Israel knew it in 1 Samuel. And Israel said, how can we replace him? God is with him when he goes in. And when he comes out, when we go to war or no war, God's with him. Wow. Now, Israel as a nation, God was with them if they would enjoy him as shepherd, but they didn't really do it. Thus, verse 6 again, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. Whether you're in or out, you will be blessed. Now, Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And in Psalm, you know that's the traveler's psalm. Speak of the traveler's psalm. And in the Psalm 121, and you have the wonderful statement, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, verse 1, from whence cometh my help. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will never slumber. Because he that keepeth thee, keepeth Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve, there's the verb again, thy soul. your conditions, your inner and outer conditions. The Lord will preserve, there's your verb again, God. The Lord will preserve, and there's your expression, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 6. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. God, whether we're coming in or we're going out, there it is, all working itself out wonderfully, wonderfully so. Now, so therefore, God, what do you want of us? Well, I want you to be able to lie down. You need to submit. Submit. I want you to lie down. I don't want you to fuss and fume and walk around. I want you to sit still. I want you to stop, sit, and be still. I want you to sit and be still, still. Still as a stone. Quiet. Shh. Quiet. That's what I want you to be. But God, shouldn't we think about something? Not necessarily. Shouldn't we do something? No. I just want you to be quiet and know that I am God. That's all. I just want you to be quiet and know that I'm God. But. See, that's the trouble. We get all going and then we lost it, God. We lost the wonderful position of comfort, lying down on tender green grass, as it were, and being at rest. We missed out. So God, here we are looking to you. Now, having said that, over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And you will note in Psalm 23, and he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me. He leads me. It's intensive. The verb is intensive. It means to eagerly, busily roll up your sleeves. You put great effort in, great energy. He leads, he leads, he leads, he guides. He guides. So now here we are resting. And he leads us. He leads us, guides us. God does that. Beside, upon, by, unto still waters. Waters of rest. Waters of rest. God, you're going to lead us by still waters. Still waters. You're going to lead. You're going to care. You're going to help us in every way to protect in the light of where we're at, in the light of where we're going, in the light of everything that's going on. God, you're going to go and protect us. That's right. I'm going to do that. By the way, I lead you, pastures of tender green grass. I want you to start out with that. I want you to know that. So now, you're going to trust me. Do you remember when the Lord helped the disciples after his resurrection? He saw them 40 days and no more. And he only saw them. And remember, we did this 100 years ago. He played peekaboo with them, just like you do with a little baby. The little baby, you can't sit and look at a little, the baby would like you to just sit and look and look and look and never, like, and the baby would be king and queen, you know, and run you. No, you don't. You sit the baby, you put him in a crib or some container and put him in there, right? You got him. What are you going to do? Now, and you're going to, and you pop in, they cry, and you stick your head in the door. It's all right, Susie, whatever. You know, and you put your head in the door, and it's all right. You adjust something and go out the door again. And you do that off and on. What is the baby learning? When the baby can't see you, it knows you're still what? There. God, what did you do to help your disciples? Just them. just them. I played peekaboo with them for 40 days. And then I left them. So that they know, even though they do not see me again, not now, not like this, in his resurrected body, they're not going to see me. But they're always going to know I'm there. Remember in John 14, I will not leave you orphans. I will not abandon you. I go to my Father, and the Spirit of God is going to come and make possible the wonderful realities that I have made possible by my death, burial, and resurrection. He's going to make those realities possible. And you need to know that when you can't see anybody, feel anything, you need to know it. God is always God. And a good shepherd he is. Always laying down to green pastures, tender green. And he leads down the corridor of time. He leads us, guides us, takes us down the corridor of time to waters of resting places, restful waters. We're going to learn of God's wonderful provision. Wonderful provision. Did you know sheep? I guess it is said that sheep will not drink of fast water. The water has to be still for the sheep to drink. He leadeth me beside what? Still waters. So in the journey, everything, why? Because you don't have to get riled up. The whole world's in trouble, making trouble, in trouble, etc. All over the place. All kinds of things to cause vibration, turmoil. But your heart needs to be resting. Lying down, going through the daily duties, whether you're here or there, God is there. God didn't go away. God didn't stop. And he's going to take us inch by inch, spot by spot, down the corridor of time we're going to go, and we're going to look to God. And God's going to help us. God's there. God, how are you going to do? I'm going to lead you. And you'll always be able to feed on who I am and what I can do for you. Without ruffles, without rumbling, you're going to trust me simply. And you're going to learn, as we are practicing, as we do, you're going to learn to say, thank you, God. Thank you. And in the thick and thin of it, God, thanks. Thank you. Here we are. And everything, who knows? God knows. Now, having said that, verse 2. He leadeth me. He leads. Intensive. He leads me. Besides the waters of rest. Waters of rest. He busies himself. He employs himself. He drives himself as leading cattle. He drives to protect, to care. He moves diligently from one pasture to the next. From one thing to the next. He leads. He guides. He directs. Marvelously so. Beside still waters. Still. Very quiet water. Very quiet water. Quiet. There's all kinds of running water. That's true. My peace like a river flows. That's true. Wow. But God, in the midst of putting all this together, because God says you need to run and you need to rest at the same time. You need to relax and be more than a conqueror. You got to do all of it. How can that be so? Because of a great God who makes all of that possible. You never stop being a child or a son. So be a child and a son before God and enjoy the trip. Now, over if you would please, over in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, picking up please, in verse 11, you're going to have the statement right where we're at here. God, what are you going to do? You're going to be a wonderful shepherd to Israel in that day. In verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. He shall carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. God is going to carefully care in his handling of each sheep. And he's going to take care of them. God, here we are. And remember, we 1,000 times we reminded ourselves, God is very, very personal and direct with you. What God does over here is one thing, but how God will help you is another. Same God, same grace, same mercy. God is going to deal with you in the light of your personality, your problem, and your makeup. That's how God's going to deal with you. So don't look for someone, how we dealt over here, he's going to deal with me or this way. No, God in his wonderful kindness deals with us in a very special, privileged way to develop us to be all more and more like him and thus more and more together. But in the process, God deals with us as individuals in a most wonderful way. And God, do you care? He leads, he does, he leads. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Numbers chapter 10. Of all the different places that you could look at, God leads beside still waters and goes from place to place to place, and you learn to walk with him, to go with him. And in Numbers chapter 10, picking up, you would recall, verse 33, there's a cloud by day, a fire by night. And they departed. Remember, they traveled. God had to move at 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd wake them all up. What were they learning? They were learning to follow and pay attention to God, to submit to God. And it is, they say, it's only 2 in the morning. Get up, get ready to march. And they go to the next place and the next place. And God would help them learn to be good soldiers, to be obedient, not to give God a hard time about what he's doing. Don't give God a tough time. Spirit of God, don't grieve him. How's that? Ephesians 4:30. Don't limit him. Be kind to him. Be kind. Be gracious to him. I mean, hey, he loves you. Now, thus, verse 33, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a, there's your word, still, what? A resting place for them. So as they went, if you ever looked at the Sinai Peninsula, that isn't very inviting. I know Saudi Arabia's out there, Mecca and Medina, they're out there. But hey, that isn't a pleasure alley at all. It isn't. And wow, God, and isn't like Israel, that made the ground flourish even in unbelief. Now, so God, you're going to take him from inch to inch, place to place. Verse 34, and the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and when they went out of the camp, and it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, there's your word, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. God went before them. And it doesn't matter what's ahead in the next 10 hours from now. God knows. And what were they looking at? They were learning God was ahead of them, no matter where they went. Would there be water? Would there be food? Would the manna from heaven come? Is everything going to be there? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So you're going to keep moving. And you learn to trust God as you go forward in the will of God, the outworking of the will of God. You're going to learn to trust him. That's what they were going through, that wonderful exercise. And in that wonderful, wonderful exercise, over to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Psalm 95 gives us a clue, a help in understanding Israel back then. Psalm 95. May I pick up, please, in thought, verse 8. 95 and verse 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the confrontation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, put me to the test, and proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. To be still. They just wouldn't lie down. They wanted to talk about everything, debate everything, argue about everything, instead of resting. Who are we to do any of it? We're stoops in the light of God. We have to yield and submit and relax. There's someone better than, greater than, more than us. Wow. And thus, Israel, you'll notice, please, in the end of verse 95, Psalm 95, verse 11, my rest. God, what were you, David, what were you doing? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Waters of rest. Resting. God, whose rest? My rest. I want you to learn and enjoy my rest. I have no lack, no insufficiency. Everything is perfect. I want you to learn that. I want you to learn that very much. Do you know when the new heavens and new earth are up there, one of the things that is there that you have to pay attention to, and there is a great sea before the throne, a sea of glass. Do you know how many waves take place in a mirror? Quiet. Quiet. Shh. Quiet. Wow. I want you to know. All is quiet. Wonderfully, wonderfully super active. And you'll know that. The dynamic of creation. You'll understand it way different than you do now. Wow. But you'll be quiet. So you can have it all, enjoy it all, be in it all, and be as safe as can be. And be as sure as possible that nothing's going to disrupt it. Nothing's going to disturb the tranquility of that place. Not at all. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 10. In the millennium now. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, that's our Lord, which shall stand for an ensign, a sign of the people. To him, the Gentiles shall seek, they're going to seek him, going to seek our Lord Jesus Christ, and his rest, and his, there's your word, still waters, and his rest shall be glorious. His resting place is full of glory and honor. God, what are you trying to tell us? David said, lie down, lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He's leading me very, very vigorously. And he's not messing around as he takes us day by day. Blessed going in, coming out. God, if we're trusting you. And so, God, here we are. And going down the corridor of time, that's right. And God, what? Well, I'm going to go and make it so that you're able to be, understand, that where I am is glorious. It's a resting place, a wonderful, waters of rest, a resting place, wonderful resting, wonderful. And where it is, because it's all that is there is quiet, quiet, calm, tranquil. And you're going to rest there. You're going to relax. Each step, well, what could it be? Oh, I don't know. But God does. But God doesn't change. And God said, wherever I am, it's glorious. Wherever I am is glorious. It's a resting place. Closing, over to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And would you know, please, Isaiah 60. Picking up, again, the millennial temple. In verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box, together, all the trees for the building of the tabernacle, temple, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Belongs to me. The temple will in Jerusalem. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Where I am is glorious. By the way, verse 14. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, the city of God. That's what they're going to say. It's my place. You see, where I stand is glorious. Now, you say, what's that got to do? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ saved you, assuming he saved you, and you received him as your Savior, what do you know? Well, that God went and bought you with a price. You're not your own, 1 Corinthians 6. You're bought with a price. God, you're bought with a price. And you, John 14, 21, 22, 23, you entered the believing heart, God, and you took and made the human heart your home, your sanctuary, your temple, the place where you are God. Is glorious. If you receive the Lord as your Savior, then in your heart, with all of its human nature and frailty and failure, and our old sin nature, there's an awesome, wonderful God who takes all that is ugly and makes it workable. Makes it glorious. So that whatever we do, whether we eat or we drink, we can take the ordinary and do it in an extraordinary way. Because God, we have a wonderful place where we rest and beside, and God, here's the still waters of refreshment. And you take us inch by inch. And every time we have an opportunity to be educated, re-educated, to learn, to unlearn, to relearn, God, our wonderful place you have chosen to make, if I may, your heart, his home. The place where he is glorious. It's a place of rest, rest. No panic, no push. Just everything's in motion. But the heart is able to be resting. In quietness and confidence, Isaiah 30, verse 15. In quietness and confidence should be their strength. In resting, they'd rest. They'd rest. In quietness and confidence would be the strength. And then they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Dummies. You missed out. We don't want to miss out, huh? God, we're busy and God bless you for being busy and doing the best you can. And leave the rest with God. And God help us. I could have brought out three or four things today that came from Mexico and some of the islands and across from other countries of the world where they're taking our little contribution of nothing, as it were, literature, Sunday school material and all that, and they're using it for all kinds of ways. And we just sit here. What are we doing? Nothing. We're trying to rest and be still and know that thou art God. You'd be surprised how that. Do you know? I had a thing. I got to stop. You know the breathing things you do? You have to breathe. Anyway, it's one of the things I had in my have to do exercise. I did it, and then I quit. Once I finished my exercise program, I didn't have to exercise anymore. Do you understand? And you had to breathe. So you get your blood pressure up, heart pumping up, and then you have to sit down, and then you breathe. Snork. And then the lady would sit and talk, and she'd talk to us sweetly, you know. I thought that was sort of fun myself, sitting in front of, and we just breathe. Quiet. It would be like a yoga or something. And you quiet yourself, and you quiet yourself, and you quiet yourself, and your blood pressure goes like that, right? That's what they do, you know. Well, normally keep your blood pressure up so you don't die, see. Anyway, you got the idea. So what are we doing, God? You want us to be able to have a wonderful position of power so that we're at ease, poise, quietness. And in that very place is where you have an exercise of the wonderful life that you have for us. So that as we breathe, as we believe God, and we believe and rest, then we handle things differently. Our Father in God, thank you for your grace and kindness. God help us. Well, thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convince them. For those that are away, those that are sick, God, deal with one and all. And our Father will thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing a stanza of 286, I believe. 286.